that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
Relativists say there is no absolute truth. Of course, they believe this assertion to be absolutely true. Others believe that there is absolute truth, but they do allow that in some instances it is difficult to know what the truth is. Consider the case of Hiro Onoda. Hiro Onoda was an intelligence officer during the Second World War. On the 26th day of December, in the year of our Lord, 1944, Onoda's commanding officer sent him to Lubang Island in the Philippines, which were occupied by the Japanese. Onoda had orders to prevent the Allies from taking possession of the island, and he was forbidden to surrender or to commit suicide. In the month of August in the following year, Japan surrendered to the United States. Onoda and his three men did not know the war had ended, and they carried on with their guerrilla campaign against the Filipinos. In the month of October, Onoda and his comrades came across a leaflet printed by the Filipinos, and the leaflet stated, "The war ended on August 15, come down from the mountains." Onoda and his men believed it to be propaganda, and so they disregarded it. Later in the year, Japanese General Tomoyuki Yamashita signed an order of surrender, and copies were dropped by plane on the island. Onoda and his men concluded that the order was a fake, and they continued fighting. 5 years later, one of the four surrendered. 2 years after that, pictures of the men's families and letters from them urging the men to surrender were dropped on the island, but the men believed it to be a trick of the Allies. After the passing of two more years, one of the men was killed by the Philippine police, and 18 years after that, another was killed. Onoda was left alone. 29 years after the end of the war, Onoda's commanding officer, Major Yoshimi Taniguchi, then retired from military service, met with Lieutenant Onoda face to face and relieved him of duty. Onoda finally surrendered. When Major Taniguchi relieved Lieutenant Onoda, the lieutenant was, from his own point of view, not skeptical enough. How did he know the major was not a prisoner of the Allies and forced to relieve Onoda? Or how did he know that the major himself was not duped by the Allies? From another point of view, however, it would have been more reasonable for Onoda to have surrendered long before. It seems he was too stubborn to admit that the Empire of Japan had been defeated. This story is a fascinating case study in the theory of knowledge, especially on the matter of testimony. Some people are trustworthy, but some are not. Some people tell lies. How can one know when another does not speak the truth? This is a problem with respect to men, but not with respect to God. God is absolutely trustworthy, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is absolutely true. The gospel is absolutely true, and men can know it to be so. God promised to King David an heir who would forever sit on his throne. He said to him, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. For many generations, the children of Israel expected this anointed king, this Christ. Simeon patiently waited for the Christ, and God revealed to him that he would not die before he saw him. After Jesus called Philip to be his disciple, Philip said to Nathanael, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." The woman at the well said to Jesus, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ." When John the Baptist came preaching, some thought he may be the Christ. St. John writes, "And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John the Baptist said he was not the Christ, but that he was sent by God to prepare the way for him." Jesus, in the beginning of his earthly ministry, performed great miracles. At Cana of Galilee, he performed his first miracle when he turned water into wine and so manifested his glory. His disciples believed in him. He performed many other miracles, and so many believed in him. That is to say, many believed he was sent from God. Nicodemus said to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus said that his miracles bore witness to who he is. When John the Baptist, in prison for the sake of righteousness, expressed doubts about whether Jesus was the Christ, Jesus pointed to his mighty works as proof. He said to John's disciples, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." John had once borne witness to Jesus, but Jesus told the people that he had an even greater witness than John, the works that he did by the power of God. He said to the people, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me." In time, many began to think that Jesus may be the Christ. He miraculously knew details of the life of the Samaritan woman at the well, so she said to the men of her city, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" After Jesus healed a man possessed by a devil, and both blind and mute, all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" St. John writes, "And many of the people believed on him and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done?" There was much disagreement in Israel, however, on the matter of Jesus. This was in part because there was much confusion about him. The people were divided. Some said Jesus was the prophet that Moses said would come. Others said he was the Christ. Some said he could not be the Christ because the Christ would be a descendant of King David and from the town of Bethlehem, the city of David, but Jesus was from Galilee. The rulers also were divided. Many believed in him, but they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, believed Jesus was from God, but other Pharisees condemned Jesus, saying, "Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." Of course, Jesus had lived for many years in Galilee, but he was born in Bethlehem. But there was another reason for the disagreement. Some had evil hearts of unbelief. Jesus said to certain Jews who opposed him, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." On one occasion, at the Feast of Dedication, Jesus was in the temple, and the Jews said to him, "How long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." A number of people, however, were quite confident that Jesus is the Christ, and they were bold to confess him. When Jesus called Nathanael to be his disciple, Nathanael said to him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Martha said to Jesus, "I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." St. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus' works were a witness that he is the Christ. He might not have performed any works, however, and simply testified of himself. But the Jews did not accept his testimony. When he proclaimed, "I am the light of the world, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life," the Pharisees said to him, "Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true." Their argument was that Jesus could not testify on his own behalf because his testimony may be false. He needed a corroborating witness. This is why Jesus had performed miracles by the hand of God. By those miracles, God bore witness that Jesus is his Son. Yet, in fact, Jesus' testimony of himself is not only true, but sufficient. It is sufficient just because he is the Son of God. And so his word is not only absolutely true, but necessarily true. It is necessarily true because it is against God's nature to lie. When God speaks, his word is absolutely trustworthy. He cannot swear by anything that his testimony is true, because nothing is as great as he is. So, when he made a covenant with Abraham, although his word was sufficient, in order to reinforce to Abraham's heirs the promise he made, he swore by himself. St. Paul writes, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So when the Jews told Jesus he could not testify on behalf of himself, he contradicted them and said to them, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go." That is to say, he could bear witness of himself because he is the Son of God. Nevertheless, because men bear false witness, the law of Moses forbade them do so, and stated that a man may be judged not on the basis of a single witness, but on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Jesus testified of himself, and his Father too testified of him. So Jesus said, "I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." Furthermore, the Spirit also bore witness of Jesus, because it was by the power of the Spirit that he performed miracles. Jesus said, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." So St. John wrote in one of his epistles, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Jesus claimed to be the Christ, the Son of God, and he proved it by his many miracles, especially by his resurrection from the dead. His disciples did not see him rise from the dead. No man did. Some of the women, when they saw the empty tomb, remembered the words that Jesus spoke to them when he was alive, how he must die and rise from the dead according to the Scriptures. They remembered his words, and they believed. They told the disciples that Jesus was risen from the dead, but the disciples did not believe them. When Jesus finally did appear to the disciples, except for Thomas, who was not present, they did believe, but Jesus rebuked them for not believing the testimony of the women. When the disciples told Thomas that they had seen Jesus alive, he said he would not believe unless he saw Jesus for himself. When Thomas saw Jesus, he did believe, but Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." The pious Christian walks by faith and not by sight. St. John wrote in his epistle, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I have written unto you, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Some do not believe the testimony of the apostles, so they do not believe God. St. Paul, after he believed in Jesus, went to Jerusalem. And while he was there, he fell into a trance, and the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. So the Lord sent him to the Gentiles who would believe his testimony. The Son of God has borne witness of himself, and the Father and the Spirit have also borne witness of him. Their testimony is to be believed because they cannot lie. The apostles have proclaimed this testimony to the world, and it is recorded in the scriptures for all to read. So St. John wrote in his gospel, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true." St. Augustine, in his confession, wrote of the necessity of believing the testimony of men and of the veracity of God. He wrote, "Then thou, O Lord, little by little, with most tender and most merciful hand, touching and composing my heart, didst persuade me. Considering what innumerable things I believed, which I saw not, nor was present while they were done, as so many things in secular history, so many reports of places and of cities which I had not seen, so many of friends, so many of physicians, so many continually of other men, which unless we should believe, we should do nothing at all in this life. Lastly, with how unshaken an assurance I believed of what parents I was born, which I could not know had I not believed upon hearsay. Considering all this, thou didst persuade me, that not they who believe thy books, which thou hast established in so great authority among almost all nations, but they who believe them not were to be blamed, and that they were not to be heard who should say to me, 'How knowest thou those scriptures to have been imparted unto mankind by the Spirit of the one true and most true God?' For this very thing was of all most to be believed, since no contentiousness of blasphemous questionings of all that multitude which I had read in the self-contradicting philosophers could wring this belief from me, that thou art whatsoever thou wert, what I knew not, and that the government of human things belongs to thee. Let us walk by faith and not by sight. Let us take God at his word. Although we have not seen Jesus, let us believe in him and love him. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen.